Last week we talked a little bit about towards the judgment. We've touched on judgment over the last few weeks. In the issue where, last week we talked about where sin isn't the issue. It's not the issue at all anymore by which we're judged what our sins are or what they have been or what they're going to be. That was taken care of at the cross. We need to not make light of those things, as Mark read this morning in Ephesians, about it was for God forgave you for Christ's sake. I mean, it costs a lot to forgive you, and how sometimes we make light of the things, or people will say that we make light over this grace message and by us being saved by grace. It's not something to make light over at all. It's the fact that it cost our Savior everything, and He lost all to come here to die for us. And so, thank God that our judgment's not based on our sins, that He took care of it. That's something to rejoice in, to be excited about, and it's okay to be emotional about it. It's okay to rejoice in that fact and to give praise for that. Sometimes also, although some may make light of the fact that saying or say that we make light of it, a lot of times it may be the fact that we don't rejoice in it enough, that we're not excited about it enough, that it's not the issue for our life, as we're called to be ministers of that reconciliation. I mean, it should be our lifestyle. It should be our motivation. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is the motivation behind ourselves as grace believers. I mean, it alone of what Christ did is the motivating factor. If anything else is the motivating factor, then typically it's about you and your glory, right? And so it's the fact of what are you rejoicing in today? I think that's important to take note on. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. So we know now that from last week to now that if you have an issue with thinking about what kind of person you are, or how bad you've been, or the sins in your life, or maybe the things that just you have a habitual issue with that you know is wrong, or things that you struggle with in life, those things, it's not the issue when it comes to your salvation, okay? The thing that changes it is your motivation. It is your separation. And I know as I sit here and say this, and trust me, as much as I point the finger at you, I point the finger at myself. The reason I can be, real, I don't know what the word is, convicted over it, is I know my own life. I know the issues with my own life and where I struggle. And so a lot of you may think, well, man, he's harping pretty hard on this. It's probably because of me and how I look at myself. So, I mean, and I don't say that with a false humility. It's embarrassing. I know there's things that go on. But as a body of believers, we need to face the fact that's the kind of people we are. And that alone should help you to rejoice in the fact of that sin's not the issue in what Christ has done. And it should be in front of us all the time. And that's the fact that while we live, that we're crucified with Christ. It's not I who lives, it's Christ that lives in me. That flesh, that stuff I keep doing in the flesh, is dead. It's buried. It's painful. I may face it. It may bring humility to me. But it's the fact that I rejoice in the fact that it is dead. It is judged. It has been dealt with. So I hope if anything else, if you don't get anything else for the rest of the day, when you walk out of here, to know that the sin that you have committed, that you're going to commit, or that you're involved in, is not the issue with your salvation. Amen? We know that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, we read this last week. And the Apostle Paul is kind of harping here in this letter about the issue that people have made a lot about man. And we talked about this morning, that's what went on in times past. When there was judgment, when there were blessings, when there were curses at that time, they would focus on the man that is doing those things. And Mark had brought out how you know, could you imagine living back there? You're the one who carried the sacrifice. People knew who you were and what was going on in your life. Today, all that stuff is hidden, isn't it? More than it just being hidden, though, the awesome thing is all that stuff is forgiven. I mean, it's forgiven. That's more important than it being hidden. It's forgiven. I just think that's awesome. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." Now I want you to understand that. When he says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man," it sounds like you have a calling too. There is a ministry that you have. Just as he gave it to Paul and Apollos, it's your ministry too. The Lord has given it to you too. Okay, there's a responsibility in that statement. And in verse 6 it says, "I have planted," and that's Paul of course, he says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Sometimes we come to a point, I believe, where people that are believers in the faith and what Paul has given, a lot of people feel like, well, there's really nothing I can do then because, you know, I just don't. There's everything you can do. There's more that you can do now because hopefully you realize how this world is deceived that makes much about what you do have to do. And so there's tons that you can do. The issue is being a minister of reconciliation. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Well, who does that tell you that gives the increase? There is nobody any better than yourself, and there's nobody that thinks of themselves that they're better than anybody else, or they fail. Because God gives the increase. It's not whether you can reach 10,000 or whether you can reach one. It's of what sort it is. God gives the increase. Paul is addressing here fame from man, is all he's doing. But man here, Paul is saying, is not what's important. The individual is not important. What's important is the performance of the individual. And I hate that word. It's what that person does with what he knows and what he has is what's important. It's the very thing that's being done rightly. There are a lot of people that do a lot of things in life, or they minister a lot of stuff in life, but is it ministered in a right way? That's important. And we see it all throughout the world today that there are a lot of people that stand behind a pulpit and minister things wrong. That's a problem. When he says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." There's two things that are involved in this verse. Planting and watering. It's not how much increase you think you bring out of it. The issue in this statement as being a minister is planting and watering. Planting and watering. Okay? Something to compare this to, I think, that brings a good comparison. Go to Luke chapter 8. Go to Luke chapter 8. I just think this is a good application to this, of what Paul is saying. In Luke chapter 8, turn to verse 4. And we've heard this, I think I've read this parable 6 million times, but I just thought for the first time it brings good application to what I'm trying to preach this morning that makes sense to me. In Luke chapter 8 verse 4 it says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, And we know we're in Luke, and we're dealing with the issue is the kingdom. But I believe this applies a lot to what Paul says. He says, the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And what you have here in this parable, you have the issue is what? It's the seed, right? The seed is identified as what? The word of God. And that's what I want to bring out in this, is watering and planting, but the seed is what you're watering, the word of God. You have here those that sowed the seed, right? That was the issue, is there were those in this chapter, in this parable, that sowed seed, okay? It fits perfect if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul speaks of ministers of the gospel. Now, if you look back at Luke 11, you'll notice the sower had no effect over what happened to the seed once it was sown, did he? The sower didn't. All he did was seed. That's all he did. Those who heard and understood were one people. Those who didn't weren't. But the sower didn't have any issue of making sure. The issue wasn't that the seed was wrong that he gave out, was it? It was the fact that all the sower did is did what he was supposed to do. Minister the way he was supposed to minister. And I thought that fits perfect when it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You'll notice the sower had no effect in Luke over what happened to the seed once it was sown. Similar to Paul, he planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. See, Paul was issuing with the fame of man. Now, let's face it. People love to be entertained. I love to be entertained. I'm not going to watch a show I don't like, okay? That's just, well, no, I don't want to be entertained, so I'm going to sit here and watch a show I don't like. That's stupid. We are people that like to be entertained. The river bends this week. And I don't have a problem. Don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem being entertained or enjoying a movie or sitting down with friends. I don't have any problem with that. Let me tell you, take a day with Anna. She'll entertain you for 5 hours just with all the stories she has. I won't take it any further. I promise. But I mean, I have laughed. Well, I was hanging out with them Thursday, and I mean, she's telling a bunch of stories, but it's hilarious. But there are people that have the ability to really entertain, right? And they're fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, that's not a bad thing. But the issue is, when it comes to spiritual things, God gives the increase. See, what we do a lot of times, Paul's dealing with the fame of man in this verse, and people are making much about the entertainer, or the sower, or the planter, or the waterer, and they're going because of them. God's not even important in the thing. They're going because the music's great, because it's good for my kids, because they just like it, because it's big. You see the issue? It doesn't matter whether God gives the increase or not. That's the problem today in your churches, is that issue. Now, here's another problem that I see, okay, that we need to be careful of. If we come as an assembly here and we make more about the things that we do than the Word of God, we have the same issue, whether you're big or small. So the issue is, if we're not careful, is through the week, if we're not ministering the things that we need to minister, okay, if our lifestyle is not the issue of what we're studying every week here on Sunday, then I'm telling you, you are not here probably for the right reason. It is not the most important thing, because it has to become your lifestyle to be interested in what we're doing now, right? if we've not studied at all through the whole week, how in the world can we come in here as a body of believers, as an assembly, prepared to learn more, to be enlightened more about the Word of God? Because through the week we've been busy with everything else. So the issue is, it's not just today or Wednesday. The issue is our lifestyle every day. It's a watering. It's a planting. It's sowing. It's trusting in that God gives the increase. But a lot of times it's two other things. We're busy with everything else that is not important, or we're making much of somebody else taking care of it for us. That can be a problem. It was similar to Paul. He planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. When we labor for the Lord, are we doing it for His work or for our work? That's the next question. When we labor for the Lord, if we labor for the Lord, we can say that too. We become very busy to where the ministry is not important. But when or if we labor for the Lord, are we doing it for His work or are we doing it for our work? Today you have so many working for a system as if they are in a factory. Have you noticed, if you look throughout the churches today, I'm telling you, there's so many working for a system or a religious act or tradition. I mean, it's like, well, we're doing this and we're doing this, or we're, you have small churches going to big churches to learn how to do and to become a big, and it's like a factory. Just, you seen that cartoon years ago? They played the music in the background, and it's just like a factory of a system, getting people so involved and just doing stuff. But the issue is that not God giving the increase. The issue is the fact that they've just become busy people that are working, making fame of people. People get involved. It brings forth popularity. You know what else it brings? It brings competition. We love entertainment, don't we? Do you understand that the church system today, what we think of church today, the system today, is like a factory, it's like a competition, it's like a game. You know what it is? It's an entertaining industry is what it is. To where whether the Word of God is important or not doesn't matter. They just use the Word of God and put everything around it. And that's what happens a lot of times. It's so easy to become part of what you think is right and it's wrong the whole time. I did it over and over and over and over. I involved my kids in it over and over and over and over. At first I thought it was proof of God blessing me. Because it just grow, you know. I always thought, well, this is just God blessing me, you know. Some people do work for just the sake, not for the sake of Christ. Some people do the work for the sake of the preacher. They want to impress or they want to please. Then also, some people do it for self-gratification. They just feel good about themselves. And look what I'm doing. But when the Bible speaks of labor being tried, of what sort it is, it isn't any of that. Instead, it's the motive. It's the motive in what we are doing. That's the issue. Is the motive of who you are and what you're doing, the fact of what, because of what Christ did, knowing that your sin's not the issue anymore, knowing that you're saved because of what He did at the cross, knowing that it's all because of what He did that you have everlasting life. Is that the motive? Then what is the motive? See, the neat thing is you wrote your own report card in that. You know the areas where maybe you're weak or maybe you're strong in your faith or what? The issue is the motive in what you're doing. That's of what sort it is. Not how much, but what it is. Wouldn't it be terrible? And I heard this from another preacher who doesn't rightly divide, but it just now hit me. I remember a man saying one time that he is asking about, what about the guy who lives in an area that has 30 people within 100 miles? That preaches at a church and wants to share the gospel, okay, and the church that has 2 million people within 100 miles? Is the man in the small church not blessed as much? Are the people that go to that church not as important as the 100,000 that go to another? Does that make sense what I'm saying? The issue is not how much, it's of what sort it is. It's what your ministry is. That's the issue. Or another question is, why are we doing what we do? Is it because of the appreciation of all that Christ has done for us? Is it because the love of Christ constraineth us? That's one of those verses you just don't hear a lot. Is the love of Christ constraining you? Chances are, if not, it's about self-gratification, pleasing other people, about moving up the ladder of success yourself. Right? In the Old Testament, the work was based on instantaneous reward or blessing. If you go back to the Old Testament, there was instantaneous reward or blessing. Right? If you do this, then I will do this. We see Scripture all through the Old Testament of all the conditions that have to be met, and then you'll have a condition. That's how it used to be. This is the Lord's working with them. The law back then was the performance system, right? Well, it's not so today. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 3. You think in times past there was a system that was put in place that today people think is in place now that has nothing to do with this dispensation. And in times past, I mean, there were things that were just instantaneous. It was judgment. It was blessings and curses on the conditions of what you did. And today you can see that all today that people believe that's what goes on. And it's just not so. That factory that's going on all morning and all through the week and all the programs and all the clubs and all the stuff, that was an issue back then. There was and people have made that the issue. But it's not so today. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." That means it's been done, right? We're not waiting for a blessing if we do something good. It says, who hath, it's done. Sin's not the issue. Okay? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We got them all. If one pastors and one teaches and one is just faithful and is and ministers another way to other people, let me tell you what. You have all the blessings, right? You're not waiting on them. You have all the blessings. They're in heavenly places, right? In Christ. This is a good thing, y'all. This is something that we rejoice in the fact. There's no performance that we have to do and maintain. We just water. We just plant. And God gives the increase. See, what's so funny is it's like that's not good enough, like we got to do something. We grow up that way, I think. You know, it's not enough. We're pushing. And so we make that the spiritual thing, too. When really it should just be a relief. But just minister. God will give the increase. Don't worry about, well, if I don't do this, then I'm going to be cursed. No. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He took it on Himself. Just do what you're called to do. Don't put the pressure on somebody. If somebody doesn't get it, it's not your problem. Just do what you're supposed to do. To me, that's motivating because I don't have to perform or win at this anymore. And I guess growing up, at Vacation Bible School, I wanted to go fish every year. I brought more friends. I'm telling you, I think my mom got sick and tired of me toting friends every, because, I mean, we would load them in trucks or whatever we had to do. All my friends, and I won the goldfish every year. I really thought I was doing something. The sad thing is, that was a good thing. There was nothing wrong with the issue of doing that. It was the motivation behind it. See, now we just need to minister. God gives the increase, is what He does. See, they're all equal for all people. We have it all. Think about it. You have many today that believe they are Israel, right? They also mention how God is blessing them with things today, right? That would be God showing favor for some over others, wouldn't it? It's funny that people think that God's blessing, but you realize if you go back in the Old Testament times, God would bless and curse them as how? A nation, wouldn't He? And they don't think about that, but they say they're Israel, okay? That would be God judging us physically today, wouldn't it? If He blesses you more than He blesses me, that'd be like me being judged, would it not? But Paul here mentions we're all blessed with spiritual blessings. People today have the misunderstanding as if it's because something they did. It's the opposite of what Paul shares here in this Corinthian letter. It's so sad for those who are faithful and hear meaning of God blessing them with physical things. That's a sad thing because you know what? I've seen people that have heard people all their life saying, well, God's blessing me with this new car or this new house or this or whatever, all these things, you know. And there's a lot of people today that they don't have a lot. They've been faithful all their life. They've given all their life. And they hear some guy beside them talking about these things that God has blessed them with. So then what do they do a lot of times? They'll give up something or they'll sell something or they'll sacrifice these physical blessings waiting on God to bless them. And they end up being disappointed, don't they? That's called religion. That's called a failed system that doesn't work today. They start putting their faith on what they're doing physically because it's how they're taught. Even those that rightly divide today need to be careful. It's easy to say, you know, hey, he's just not being blessed. What's wrong with you? It's the worst thing you can say. It's not the issue. We need to remember, God's not judging us today. He is a righteous judge, right? Do you base your performance today by what you think God has given you? I'm glad I don't. I've been in bad shape. I'm glad I can rejoice in the fact that I don't base it on that. Or maybe even the one that has a lot that thinks, you know, no, I know it's not. We don't have to base it on anything. Do you base your performance today by what you think God has given you? If this is true, then we are in a wrong place this morning. If we think that God is blessing us by what we do, and we're all just sitting in here this morning, well, we need to be out there doing something. We need to go help somebody right now. Let's just load up and go do it. We'll be the most blessed church in the world. You see what people do all day long? Make you busy and busy and busy about this club and that club. We're going to get this bus together and we're going to go down here. That is a great thing to go help people. Don't get me wrong. Please don't. Don't get me wrong. But the issue is you're basing that by waiting for God to bless you in that. You're blessed in heavenly places. Right? Your blessing is equal. It's as much as anybody else's. Because of Jesus Christ. It's not because if you base your things physically this morning, then you're missing it. And there's always going to be somebody that you feel like is more blessed than you. That's a sad way to live this life. We rejoice in the fact that the sins are forgiven. They're not the issue. We're not any less blessed than anybody else. Right? Because Christ has paid it off. That's something to rejoice in. If we think that that's true, that we're blessed by how much we work, we need to work and perform then, don't we? I get to deal with these people that work and perform, work and perform. But what happens to the one that gets sick or the one that gets hurt and they can't work as much? Is that fair? Absolutely. It's not fair at all. That's not the issue of our blessings. You know what people do? Work, and then something bad happens to them. They're going to blame the devil. You know. No, blame God. Right? That's crazy. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." See, we have the blessing of the Word of God. It teaches us how to perform a ministry of reconciliation. It instructs us how to operate in this present age without being confused. And if you don't recognize that, I'm telling you, you can get involved in any building this morning and you will walk out confused every time, because every one of them will give you a performance that you need to do in order to get something else. Even after we've read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The Word of God instructs us how to operate in this present age. Now, I asked earlier about what your motivation is. The problem with us not being motivated right is because usually we don't know the instruction, even though we have it. And so we lose our motivation for who we are in Christ because we don't know the instruction. And when you don't know the instruction, then you can't say that you're hungry for it, right? Therefore, it isn't important, and we start looking around us everywhere. Then we become confused by other people thinking that they're blessed and we're judged. The reason people grow up that way is because they don't know the Word of God. And so, when they start seeing something that somebody says or ministers, then they go to the next person who shares it totally different next time. The next thing you know, they wonder why they're not blessed, or why so-and-so is a terrible person, and they get more than I get, or why... You see how messed up that is? It's because they don't realize that they're already blessed. They make their sins the issue, and they spend more time judging themselves instead of just watering and planting and knowing that God gives the increase. If you're somebody that shares all the time, or somebody that has the desire, don't get disappointed if 1 out of 10,000 people get it. Just keep watering the plant. God gives it. And He does it through His Word. And just as many that are out there that are sharing it rightly, there's a lot more that are not. And understand that. The world we live in. That doesn't mean you quit. Right? Because you're already blessed with all spiritual blessings and heavenly blessings. What's your motivation?